Okay, this is a Stargate, and those of you that are in science fiction, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek, one of the most fascinating things about is those shows is that they're able to travel to different worlds. I often wonder, where does that concept come from that is in science fiction producers, and where they have this idea that there are other worlds out there? Is it something that the devil puts within their heads, or is it something, you know, so I sometimes think that God works through different means, because some Christians are just never going to get it. You know, not in a million years will they ever understand it. But, and so I've often thought that maybe he works through some of these science fiction producers to send a message, a concept that may actually be real. I think at the resurrection, we're going to be amazed to find out that we were not the only project going on. I think we may be the only project in this galaxy going on, but in other galaxy, I think God has, well, we could say other Earth. I don't guess it would be called Earth projects. It would be called something different. But other projects going on where they have a Bible. They've been allotted 6,000 years to, you know, maybe to do their own thing. And they have a Savior, Jesus Christ. And we may be amazed to find out, well, what do you know? We weren't the only ones that God was working with. There were other worlds out there. Now, in the Stargate movie or series, they find a Stargate where they are able, they dig it up, I think they find it in Egypt, and they find out that they're able to travel to different worlds through a Stargate. They have a Stargate that you enter and one that you exit. Let me get to my next picture here. This is the Stargate all fired up. It's sort of like a translucent, I don't know what you would call it, body of mass. This thing's sort of like a, whoops.
Just go back.
Well, that's okay. There it is. And that's the Stargate on another planet. In other words, you enter in the Stargate and you come off at, you know, that's another world, by the way. You can tell that's another world. I mean, it looks different, a little bit different. And, of course, that little contraption there is how they dial in back to planet Earth. They have to hit a sequence of numbers that take them back to planet Earth. And in the movie, they never know what they're getting into when they go through the Stargate. Sometimes they send a probe through, and it sends back video and temperature readings, and they can sort of tell what they're getting into, but they really don't know what they're getting into until they go through the Stargate and come out the other side. And, of course, they always carry weapons because it might be hostile, might be aliens, might be someone who wants to kill them on the other side. It's a fascinating series, Stargate. I'll get you a set, Angela, so you can watch it. But we're going to take a trip to a Stargate right now, to another world. Now, I'm not sure where we're going. We're just going somewhere through a Stargate, and we're going to see where we come out at. Are you ready? All right. Not really, you say. Okay, so here we are at an alien world. As you can tell, I mean, it's wicked-looking trees along the side. I mean, it's obviously a different city or town. It almost looks like Egypt in the back, pyramids in the back. But, you know, you can tell that it's a different world with the lower atmosphere. I mean, we have arrived at a different, an alien world. Now, I want you to imagine if you were told that you're going to have to live out the rest of your life right here in this alien world. Until the day that you die, this will be where you live until death. As you begin to study the aliens, you find out that they have some really bizarre customs, let's say. One is they use murder as a method of birth control. In fact, to the point of 25 every second. And you think, man, that's really weird. That every 25 seconds, this, you know, isn't there a better way to control birth? But they use murder as the method of birth control. And you think that's really weird, you know, in this alien world in which you're living. You find out in this alien world that there's very little justice. That if you have enough money, you can get away with about anything. You can get away with murder if you have enough money. And you think, well, that's very strange too. I'm not sure I like this place. You also find out in this alien world that they love to be lied to. They just love it for someone to lie to them. Embracing the lie is the way the aliens passively choose not to think. Because it's hard to think. You've got to figure out things when you think. And so it's easier to embrace a lie. And you find out that's sort of the way they are in this alien world. You also find out that they're somewhat selfish. That is sort of all about me, that as long as things are going good for me, concern for other aliens is non-existing. It's just as long as I got some money, I'm able to put food on the table, I got a job, they are really not that concerned about each other as a whole system. The alien nation, you find out they have a government, a form of government. They have their educational system. It's not very good, but they have it. They even have religion. It's mostly for show, lip service, but they have their religion. The alien nation also has a god that everybody worships, either knowingly, but for the most part unknowingly. They worship this god. In fact, in the movie Stargate, there is a serpent god that they worship called Ra, I believe. It's interesting, serpent god, you know. But anyway, and one of the things that you find out living here is the longer your exposure to this alien nation world, the easier it is to conform to its ways and customs. At first, what is repugnant, you think, man, I can't believe they're doing that. But as the longer you're there, you just sort of, it becomes like a part of you. It's ways, the way they think, what they do. It's just sort of easier not to think, easier to conform to their ways. Now, I have to admit, I don't like this place. And I am ready to go back. So, let's go back. Home. Get ready. Here we go. Now you have to admit, it's good to be home, isn't it? Back where, you know, one nation under God. Now, I think you've already figured out that we are the alien world that I'm referring to. And growing up as a child, I really didn't have a concept that I was living in an alien world. I thought the world was pretty good. And what I thought was good was God's creation, the beauty of God's creation, and all that. You know, that is good. It's wonderful what God has created. But I sort of thought everybody else is very good, and it's a good world, and it's good people, and good everything. And it's just, I was sort of proud to be an American. I guess I still am. But I sort of had an illusion about the world in which I live. I thought it was pretty good. I never thought it was an alien world. I never really thought, this is not really my home. I really don't belong here. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about the world. It's amazing how many times you find that little statement, the world. In fact, the first one I want to turn to, you don't have to turn to all of these, but John 18 and verse 36. Jesus is on trial. They wanted to know, are you going to overthrow the Roman government? Are you a king? When you're going to set up your kingdom, they didn't know it would be 2,000 years would have to go by before he would return, a second coming of Christ, and then establish the government of God. They were thinking, you're going to do it right now. Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. Notice that. There's the word. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. We would get into a knockdown, drag-out fight if my kingdom was of this world. I would call for a legion of angels and just wipe all of you people out and set up my kingdom right now. But my kingdom is not of this world. Then should my servants fight, that I should be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Now, a little word now. In other words, it's not about right now. It's coming, but it's not now. So Jesus just pretty much says, you know, my kingdom is coming to this earth at my return. It's not about this world's educational system. It's not about this world's government. It's not about this world's entertainment. You know that, don't you? It's not about this world's, and here's the hard one, it's really not about this world's religion. Hard to accept that. And another scripture that I think a lot of people gloss over is Matthew 4 and verse 8. It's the temptation of Christ. And the devil is, well, Matthew 4 and verse 8, takes him up to an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Says, look at this. You can have it all. I will, Satan is speaking, the devil is speaking. He says, I will give you all of it if you will fall down and worship me. You know what's easy to overlook? Jesus never said, well, wait a minute. It's not yours to give. That's, what do you mean you will give me all this? He did not deny that temporarily it was his to give. You ever thought about what that tells you? People want to believe that this is God's world. They really do. To a point of desperation. Religious people want to believe this is God's world. Now, I remember one minister, he used to mock, you know, he would say, you know, he would talk about Bertha Butt, you know, the Lord healed Bertha Butt's big toe. Praise Jesus. The Lord is working mightily here today. And while across, you know, the nation, someone just got in Uganda, Africa, the whole family just got hacked a bit, some pieces with a machete. And this happened and that happened, this rape occurred and this and that. But the Lord is working mightily here right now. We want to believe God's working mightily. It's a country western song about dinner on the ground, sacred Sunday morning coming down. And we love to believe, you know, this is God. We got all of these churches. We got all of these religious channels. It's got to be God's world. Well, whose world is it? Well, let's take a look. Let's look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. Whose world is it? 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world. Now, you want to underline that. Who's it referring to? The God of this world. Satan. Has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It's an alien world. It's not God's world. It's not God's educational system. It's not God's government. It's not God's entertainment. It's not God's religion. And you're going to have to live here until the day that you die in this alien world. Now, we'll get to the point as to why that is true a little bit later. So we first of all, we see, well, okay, Satan is the god of this world. Now, let's talk about our educational system. whose educational system is it in this world? Revelation 12 and verse 9 tells us something about our educational system. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. It's fascinating. I mean, it deceives the whole world? Surely not. Not me. No way. You know, you remember, I say, you know, the local channels, anything is free. You know, the devil uses that to his glory. You know, ABC, CBS, NBC. The majority, you know, is really, the majority is always wrong. Remember, was Dan Rather, he got caught because he was trying to lie about, what, George Bush military records? He had a scheme where they're trying to portray that, and he got caught. That's why you don't see him anymore. Do you think that's the first time that's ever happened, you know, with the... You know, voices of truth, it's like John the Baptist. You've got to search for it. You've got to hunt for it. It's not, you're not going to find a voice of truth is crying, like crying in the wilderness. It's going to be small. You're not going to hear it much. You've got to search for it. You've got to work to hear a voice of truth. But the majority, deception. A lie, well, you know, one lie that goes around is global warming. It's a cash cow for special interest groups, but... You know, it's a lie. The facts say just the opposite. The scientists, they say just the opposite of that. But, you know, Al Gore said it, so it's got to be right, you know. So our educational system comes back and says, Satan deceives the whole world. All right, what about our government? Surely we can find something good here. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world." There's the word again. This world. This world. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan, if he works anywhere, he works through the powers that be. Governmental powers. I mean, that's where he really wants to work at. And, you know, some of the things that you see, I heard one story about our government that, and I haven't actually documented this as whether it's absolutely true, but a friend told me that I trust. He was talking about the oil spill that BP, there are other smaller equipment drilling out there about 500 feet deep. But the government said, you can't, you're a big operation. They have a lot of experience at drilling at 500 feet, as you might well imagine. But you've got to go out at 5,000 feet and drill. Government, you know, environmentalists. It's better that you go way out there, and if something happens, you know, like a leak, you'll never be able to plug it because they don't have as much experience at 5,000 feet deep versus 500. So, but that sounds like, does that not sound like the environmentalists or our government saying you've got to go out there at 5,000 feet and drill? It does. I mean, and so they're having a time trying to cap the, you know, all of the excess oil. But it sounds like something crazy that, and then, of course, the environmentalists, they really drive me crazy. I'm always kidding about Teresa. I'm kidding with her. She believes in recycling. I told her, I said, do you know that God's going to recycle the earth one day? When the earth melts with fervent heat, that he's going to recycle the whole thing. You know, it's just, it's gone. Now, I'm all for keeping things nice. I mean, I'm a neat freak. You know, I'll pick up other people's garbage. But, you know, we got to realize that the only way, you know, if I believe that we were going to continue on for another 10 million years and reproduce and families, and then, yeah, I think I ought to be more concerned about, you know, taking care of the, you know, but God's on a time schedule, and that 6,000 years are about up. And so it's time for the seventh day, the millennial rest, the 1,000-year kingdom of God on this earth. And so the timing, we're not just going to go on forever. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth created, and this earth will one day melt with fervent heat, which is your hellfire, by the way. Anything left on it that's physical will be destroyed when that time comes. So, anyway, okay. So we go through this and we think, okay, this is very negative. You know, I don't like this. This is too negative for me to handle. We've got, he's the God of this, Satan is the God of this world. He deceives the whole world. He works through the powers that be, governing powers. But we still haven't, we've missed one point. Religion. Look at 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. What about religion? Okay. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's enough to blow your mind, that Satan is transformed, not in the red body stocking, you know, with a pitchfork and all that, but into an angel of light. That tells me you're going to want to believe him. It's going to be, you know, it's incredible deception here when you think about it. Therefore, it is no great things if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Notice, Satan has ministers, and they come across as ministers of righteousness. They're talking about what, you know, loving God and loving each other, and they come ministers of righteousness. So we have to understand that with religion, there is a counterfeit. There's a counterfeit blood, counterfeit gospel, counterfeit Christ Jesus, counterfeit day of worship, counterfeit holidays. There is a counterfeit out there. Now, how do you deal with this? I mean, because we've gone through, he's the God of this, Satan is the God of this world, this alien nation that we live in. He deceives the whole world. He works through the powers that be. He's in religion deceiving. How can one even come to God in an alien world? Is it possible to come to God in an alien world? Well, it is possible, but this is how it happens. Acts 28 and verse 16 says, Jesus is speaking to Paul, actually, when he was struck down on the road and blinded. He said, this is my role. This is what I'm here for. Acts 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want you to think about it. If God had not called you, let's say if God had not called Paul, where would Paul be? Well, he would have lived out his day persecuting the church, and he would have died. Do we think we're smart enough and strong enough to combat these four areas? Satan is the God of this world. He deceives the whole world. He works through the powers that be, and he works through religion. Are we? You know, you think about it. What it took to get you here. Are we smart enough, clever enough to work against these forces? No, it is a miracle that you realize that you're living in an alien world, that this is not God's world. It's a miracle that you realize that, that this is not God's educational system, government, entertainment, or religion. It's a miracle that we even realize this. Now, what about people who have gone before us in the Bible? What did they believe? Well, you know, in Hebrews 11 and verse 13, it talks about some of the heroes of faith. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They realize, I'm living in an alien nation. You know, part of the meaning of the Feast of Tabernacles is, this is not our place. This is not our home. This is not where we belong. Remember one year at the feast, Ron Dart gave a sermon about, you know, E.T. phone home. And here was this little alien, you know, and he didn't belong here. He belonged back, you know, and he wanted to phone home. Figured out a way to call back home, that we have to, you know, call God our Father and call home, because this is not where we belong. This is not, you know, we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. So, what I need to insert here, what exactly is God doing through you? Well, first of all, he is calling an elect, a first fruit. Many are called, but few are chosen for this expedition that you're on. Few are chosen for this. He is calling his cabinet members that will rule and reign with Christ. He is building character right now, and the only way character can be built within us is by the resistance of the alien forces. Character would not be built in the Promised Land. You know, it just wouldn't happen. It takes being in this environment of an alien world. It's the only way you're ever going to, by resisting it, is the only way character comes about. Without that, you would be of very little value to God. And at the first resurrection, you're going to take what you have learned in the alien world and help build the government of God on this earth. We are to be partakers. You know, and it refers to in Hebrews, the heroes of faith. It says that they wanted to obtain a better resurrection. You know, they don't know, there's two resurrections. They wanted to be a part of that first resurrection where they could help build, establish that government, that city whose builder and maker is God. A perfect world. They wanted to be a part of that. They wanted to be a part of it. You know, when I think about the kingdom of God on this earth, there's a lot of things I look forward to. Do you realize that when the government of God is on this earth, that a lot of people are going to have their first taste of justice? People have been hurt, abused. And justice is not just about revenge. A lot of times we think justice is about revenge. Justice is about knowing the truth. Who actually did this? Who accused me wrongly or whatever? Justice is about understanding what is the truth and having the whole world understand what the truth is. I imagine the day when, and this will probably be after the second resurrection, when everybody is given their first chance for salvation. But I think about, you know, when maybe justice, where let's say, OJ, let's find out who really murdered your wife. Let's roll back the cameras and see who really did that. Who was wearing the mask? Who had to not? Let's find, of course, we all already know who did. Who was that over here? Teddy Bear. Yeah, Teddy Bear. Yeah, let's find out who really, the Chappaquiddick incident. Let's find out who really. Oh, there's a lot of, you know, areas of justice that I would like to find out. There's a 2 miles down the road, there was a short family. And I'd be willing to bet that the Henry County Police was involved in that, and it had something to do with drugs, and somebody knew too much information. The little girl was killed, the whole family was killed. But there is coming a second trial for these people. They've had their earthly trial, which was flawed, corrupted. So, you know, there's coming a day when justice is going to be found out, when people are going to find out the truth about what actually happened. There's all kinds of people that's been accused wrongly, and people who have suffered because the truth was withheld from them. You know, to me, it's a fascinating time to look forward to, when we can have a part in this kingdom, this government of God, and to help establish a world that we all want and desperately yearn for, the government of God. I got an email, and I'll share this with you. I hope it doesn't offend anyone, but it's about a football player. I think Ray sent this to me. Ray is always arguing with people over the internet about religious things, and he is a case. I mean, that man, you talk about offending people. Oh boy, he's something else. Someone had sent him an email. Religious people are just fascinated with this football. Tebow? Is it Tebow? He was a two-time national champion quarterback for the University of Florida. And he said this to a group of his ilk. He said, no one ever really done anything significant when they've been with the pack. Talking about football, says Tebow. They've had to stand alone to do something significant. My greatest goal in my life is that when I'm in heaven and standing before Jesus Christ, he opens up his arms and walks up to me and gives me a big hug and says, Timmy, great job. You finish. That a boy. I don't like it. Because, I mean, here's what Ray says to this guy that sent him out. He says, he's only doing what he's been taught. He's only doing what he's been taught. That is, he's been taught the fundamental concept about Christian retirement. You go to heaven and you are like a puppy dog looking at the master's face on a hardwood floor with your tail thump, 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 thump. And your greatest thing that ever happened to you is you get to retire in heaven for all eternity. Malarkey. I mean, come on. Why are you here in an alien nation? You mean to tell me we're in this alien nation? You go through everything you go through, resisting of temptation, falling flat on your face, having to get back up, brush yourself off because you have sinned. That everything you go through here is for the purpose of retiring and doing nothing? Well, anyway, Ray says he's only doing what he's been taught about. He's only doing what has been taught about, that wishy-washy Jesus of popular and irrelevant Christianity, which isn't the real Jesus in the Bible. But then, what self-respecting religionist is going to let some Jew God tell them what to do? This guy is unreal. I don't see how he has a friend in the world. But anyway, one time I made the mistake of sending Ray. I was touched by an email that was sent to me. It was about this little boy. He didn't have any arms, didn't have any legs. And I was moved by his willingness not to give up. And this guy was sort of preaching his concept of the gospel. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me. You know, just the fundamental, what I call just mainstream, you know. I sent that to Ray. Ray writes back, he says, what's his message? He doesn't have a message. That's not the gospel. What he's teaching is not the gospel. And I thought, goodness gracious, I got offended. And then I thought, he's right. You know, a lot of times we can get emotionally connected and think, yeah, well, they're really doing a good job. But you know, we've got to understand what is really in store is what God is doing is calling an elect, first fruits, in a sense, to save the world. That's what you're here for, to save the world. Without you and God's children and you, it's going to die. It's going to die. There was a movie, Armageddon. A bunch of misfits set out to save the world. It's an asteroid that's coming straight toward this. And they get the... I love this movie. They get these misfits who fly up there on a space shuttle to the asteroid, the huge rock, to drill in it and blow it up before it hits the Earth. And they've been called. It's a part in that movie where Bruce Willis says, you know, we've been called. I mean, we're here to save the world. It depends on you guys right here to save the world. And at the end, Willis, I think, sacrifices his life to save the world. And that big old black guy, I can't think of his name, but I love that guy. Yeah. He says, you the man, when it finally blows up. But have you ever thought of yourself as that group of people that with God's instructions, I understand, under God's authority, but you're a group of people that's going to save humanity from self-destruction. It's fascinating to think about. Okay, let's close out. Let's look at this. Let's think about this world one more time, alien world. One more verse I want to read. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, it's mixed emotions with me about, because there are things I love about the world. I love God's creation. But like that alien nation, you know, the longer your exposure to this alien world, the easier it is to conform to its ways and customs. That's the danger. The longer your exposure, the easier it is to conform to its ways and customs. And I just want to leave you with a question that I think God's people need to answer. Because I've seen God's people, I think, not with the right response to the world. Question I want to ask you is, do you love your alien world?